everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and it's great to have you joining me today on What Women Must Know. This is a program that is dedicated and quite passionate about empowering people, women, men, everyone's invited, to make the most informed decisions possible by getting truthful information. And we're touching on many, many topics on this show. I invite many researchers, authors, practitioners, wise elders to share their knowledge and to allow us to step into a level of responsibility for our health and our life and our learning process. So as always, it's just great to be able to be here today and to share some wonderful, inspiring knowledge, wisdom, information with you. I also want to be sure everyone knows that I have a very educational and informative website, What Women Must Know. And if you opt in there, you actually get several of my free special reports. I have many articles freely available, many videos, great stuff to really give you further insight into what's going on with your bodies and solutions. So be sure to check out What Women Must Know. Get those free special reports. And also, go visit my Facebook page. Go like me over there, because every day I post strategies, recipes, latest breaking news. In fact, over the next week, I'm going to be sharing with you the solution to the obesity epidemic. That's a pretty amazing topic, and I have personally experienced the key to transforming my body, and I'm going to be sharing with my list and my Facebook followers the keys that I've learned. So it's never too late to get the body you want, and it's always fun to share this kind of information. So I hope you will be joining me over there. Come visit. And let's talk about the topic at hand, 2013. We all have all sorts of thoughts and perceptions and hallucinations about what is happening in 2013, and we're about to enter the year of the black snake, I believe, from the Chinese model. So what does it all portend? I don't know if you are curious like I am, but I like getting a glimpse into the year ahead. In fact, this show is really titled Have a Peek into the Looking Glass for 2013. And we're going to peek into the looking glass with internationally acclaimed astrologer Robert Ayres. So let me just say a little bit about Robert before I bring him on. He brings over 40 years of intensive experience and knowledge to his work. Personal research into the body of knowledge concerning the evolution of human consciousness and the spiritual world is the primary focus of his life. To share what he has learned with the world and promote self-sufficiency in each individual is his driving ambition. Robert writes regular astrological columns for three magazines, appears on three national radio shows, and is a member of the American Federation of Astrologers. And Robert has been a guest on my show many, many times. He provides profound insight, and the more insight we have into what is going on with this year, and of course with ourselves, the more we can be prepared and just navigate through the maze of our life. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Robert Ayres to the show. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for having me.
It's been a while since I've had you on. You always are so inspirational. So I thought, you know, it's the beginning of the new year. This is the time people want to get a glimpse into things. Somehow we think changing a number is, you know, it's like a whole new cycle begins, and probably is if we go from year to year. New energies come in, new energies go out, huh?
So, well, we have numerology. There's all kinds of different ways of looking at things. So, yeah, you change a number and you change a certain energy.
And, you know, astrology has always fascinated me. And I want to just make something really clear and make some distinctions before we get into this really fascinating conversation. We're not talking about the astrology that is found in newspapers on a daily basis. We're not talking into astrology that's going to tell you when the true love of your life is going to come in or whatever. We're talking about an ancient system that has existed for thousands of years. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. It's actually the oldest art and science of humanity.
Isn't that amazing? The oldest art and science of humanity. And it's kind of been, you know, commercialized, secularized, made into a pop culture thing. But actually, with astrologers like yourself, who are so dedicated and serious and have studied for most of your life, this becomes a very profound insight into the energies that we are sharing and moving through. So I have great respect for astrology, and I personally use the wisdom from astrology to help guide me in my life so I can walk a path with as much awareness and insight and strategies as possible. So you've helped me with that, Bob, for many years now. And I've always appreciated the wisdom that you bring to these conversations. So where shall we begin? Let's look into the looking glass for 2013. Where shall we begin?
So you're asking me in terms of where to begin in terms of talking about 2013?
Yes.
So one of the things is, and I was just giving classes about this in December, but we're still here. We had the Mayan calendar, which is in and of itself, maybe a few brief comments about this, because the Mayan calendar is probably one of the most sophisticated measuring of time that there is. Even astrophysicists today do not know. Our current calendar is nowhere nearly as sophisticated as the Mayan calendar, and a lot of people were interpreting the end of the Mayan calendar as the end of the world, which it obviously wasn't. But that calendar was registering a 5,000-year cycle that ended December 21st, 2012, but also a 25,920-year cycle, which is how long it takes our solar system to basically orbit around the central sun of the Milky Way galaxy. But any way that we look at it, of which we can get into all kinds of depth if that is appropriate, is that it's the beginning of a new 25,920-year cycle and another 5,000-year cycle. If we compare this, or we will find that if we go to the Vedic culture of ancient India, if we go to the ancient Greek culture of Hesiod and Homer, we're going to find the same layout of understanding of vast periods of time in terms of the ages. And in our Western terminology, we're maybe more familiar with hearing about the Golden Age and the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age. And it relates in the same way. If we talk in the Vedic culture, it's Sat Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. And what just ended was Kali Yuga, which is the Dark Age, a 5,000-year period of darkness. And we're going to find that the Dark Age is followed by a new age of light, or Sat Yuga, or another Golden Age. And we will find that the same teaching is inherent within the Mayan tradition and the Mayan calendar. And so that timing, which so many people looked at in fear and foreboding, was actually a very significant positive shift. And of course, when we're talking about time cycles that are thousands of years, then things don't change overnight. It actually takes hundreds of years of transition. But it is, just to kind of frame 2013, it is the first year of the Golden Age, or Sat Yuga. And as such, it means that there is a higher vibrational frequency and expanding light and consciousness that is going to be increasingly developing momentum the further that we move into the future.
You know, it's so hard for our culture, and maybe it's a challenge for humans in general, to think in terms of 5,000 years. I mean, it boggles my mind where we will be in 5,000 years, what our culture, our society, how we will live, what we will look like, what, you know, just what this world will be like in 5,000 years. That's just, it's almost impossible to imagine.
Well, it is, and one of my degrees is in history, and if you are a history major, you're going to find that our version of history is it only goes back about 5,000 years, so about 3,000 B.C., and the truth of the matter is we've been here much, much longer. And so there's ways of delving into that very background in history of human evolution and humanity that aren't just based on the physical records of which our archaeologists and historians are focusing on. But yes, it is challenging to think in those terms. But when we start talking about the evolution of consciousness and the perfecting of humanity and the creating of an ideal society on Earth, I think we'd all agree that it probably is not something that would happen overnight. And it is a process where the individuals involved have to come into that state of consciousness that's more enlightened in order to create an enlightened society. And that is something that definitely is a process of life unfoldment. And if we look to kind of frame the time that we're in, that very much 2013 will be a part of, if we were looking at the bigger picture of these cycles, we would see the time that we are in, which actually technically from an astrological perspective started in 2007 and goes through 2024, which has to do with the planet Pluto transiting through the sign of the zodiac Capricorn. We're going to find that we have entered into a time of very, very intense cleansing and purification in terms of individually and collectively. And because Capricorn is what rules the power structures of society, the government and business, the institutions that we look to that are really about the establishing of the orderliness of society, we're going to find that they're being tested to a very significant degree at this time by the planet Pluto, which is the planet of change and transformation and metamorphosis. And we're going to find that it's very intense. It's what rules volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, the atomic bomb. So we're talking about very powerful forces of change that have entered into life in a way that they haven't for many, many, many years. And that to the degree patterns of thinking, feeling, and action within an individual, and to the degree that the institutions within our society are not functioning anymore, are really not serving us, and are really not giving us the results that we are looking for, we will find that those institutions and those patterns of thinking, feeling, and action become increasingly dysfunctional. And one of the things that I think that most of us would agree, if we're objectively observing what has been going on in the past number of years, is that we're seeing an increasing dysfunction. Whether we look at it politically or whether we look at it educationally or the healthcare system or however, we're going to find that the institutions and the structures of society that have been created in the past are not really working very effectively at the present time. And we're going to find that this is an incredible, intense time of change that would be kind of identified by a process of death and rebirth. And the symbolism would be that of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And we're going to find that as the old ways, the old paradigms, the old patterns of thinking, feeling, and action become increasingly dysfunctional and don't serve, then people are going to be looking around for alternatives. And we're going to find that the energy goes out of the old system, and we will find correspondingly that the new will arise. And so we're in a very intensive time right now of change and transformation where the old is not working and people are scrambling to look for that which will work. And that very much defines 2013. We will actually find it will intensify even more in 2014 and 15. But this is one of the things that defines the time. And we really want to have that bigger picture that to understand that all the difficulties and all the challenges and all the conflicts that we see around us, that in the bigger picture something good is happening, that this is a movement of change towards something that is better. Oftentimes it's difficult to discern that when we're in the midst of the process, and we are in the midst of the process. And so we're talking about the evolution of consciousness individually and collectively, and correspondingly because society and our culture and civilization is a reflecting of that consciousness, that a change in that civilization and societal consciousness.
So it's looking at all levels. We can look at all the institutions in our culture, and if you really look at them, you can see that they are so dysfunctional and so corrupt everywhere you look, at least from my perspective.
Well, I agree.
So so, you know, these, how long can you sustain a corrupt culture? And it sounds like the energies that are, you know, kind of emerging at this moment in time will reveal that the false, you know, false foundation that we've been building our culture on, which has not really served us well, and it's just going to get top heavy and fall over one way or the other.
Yeah, and one of the things about the process to understand is, and that you know, there are those who have a vested interest in things as they are, and they are the individuals that control the power structures, and they are going to hold on to the old system because that's their identity, and that is their job as they see it. And so we're going to find that there is a significant, powerful section of society that will actually resist the change because they really don't want it. Whereas we're going to find that more and more the disaffected people who are living with the dysfunction are going to withdraw their energy and support from those systems and start moving in terms of looking for new ways of doing things. And we're going to find that overall that the change is going to come from the grassroots, bottom up, as opposed to top down. And usually during difficult times, we'll find historically that they tend to be incredibly creative periods. Just as Benjamin Franklin said, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And we're going to see that there is a great deal of necessity. And also one of the principles that I really ascribe to give understanding to difficult times is crisis is opportunity. And crisis is happening for a reason, because things are not working. And that is then creating the opportunity for change to create something better. And yes, we will find over time that the institutions and the power structure will collapse to the degree that they refuse to change. They can work with the change. They have that choice to actually graft into existing institutions, hybridize, if you will, the way things are being done, and graft the new onto the old. And that will probably happen naturally anyway, but to the degree that the old resists the new, it will be messier, it will be more destructive, and it will be more difficult.
Do you have an example of where you see this happening right now?
The change? Oh, well, take, for example, Congress. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a polarized Congress that is dysfunctional. This country needs a budget. It needs reform of taxes. It needs all kinds of things that the elected officials are really having an extremely difficult time accomplishing. And it has to do with this polarization that, yes, the people agree that something needs to be done, but they very much disagree in terms of how it should be done. If we look at education, we're going to see all kinds of conflict in terms of, you know, everyone agrees that there should be, you know, a good educational system, but people will differ in terms of how it should happen, and there will be people that will represent the old and those that represent the new, and there will be conflict, and it's kind of fought out. And we could take the financial system. You know, there are serious problems. They still have not addressed this. We're going to see that this is going to be the Achilles heel that will loom up in the second half of 2013 to bring us a second phase of global financial crisis that will destabilize the whole world. And so here, when we look at the financial system, and how it really works. I mean, basically, it's based in deficit spending or borrowing, which is unsustainable. And there needs to be change. And so, I mean, we could focus on almost any area of society to really be able to see the increasing dysfunction and the need for new thinking and new approaches.
And I want you to talk a lot more about from an astrological point of view, the financial trends for 2013, because I think everyone's interested in that. But before we do that, we'll do that the second half of the show. I just want to follow through on the macrocosm and the microcosm, because we've talked about these institutions. How do we experience these energies in our personal life? What's going on with people, or what is it that people need to be aware of in their personal lives as they go through their own challenges, relationship challenges, health challenges, or just losing their jobs in foreclosed, and all the things that are going on that are very scary for people?
Well, if things aren't working, and that's one of the basic ways, if, you know, we're using the old methods that we would have used, you know, 10, 20 years ago in terms of approaching and dealing with something, and we're finding it's not working, then that is kind of an indication to us that we need to try new thinking and try new approaches. I mean, you know, the example you give in terms of people losing their houses and all of this, we look at the banking and financial system. We look at, you know, how things have gotten tighter in terms of the banks, in terms of qualifying for mortgages or loan modifications, and the effect that that has on people in terms of not being able to get credit or to refinance their homes at a more reasonable rate that they can afford, and really creating financial difficulties. I mean, it's one of the major dislocations in society at this time. Also, in my own practice, and I deal with this a lot from the standpoint of working with my clients in terms of their financial situations, because I do have this background in international investment banking. But it's also that one of the areas that I see where there is extreme amount of conflict, much more intensified and heightened than in previous times, is in relationship. And primarily, I'm not limiting it to it, it's all kinds of relationship, but primarily love relationship between a husband and a wife, or a man and a woman. And basically, we're going to find that we've come to a point, if we want to talk about this spiritually, if we want to talk about this in terms of the evolution of consciousness, all of us have chosen that are here to be here now. And we, in a deeper sense, when we were aware before we came in, that this was going to be the time of the greatest evolutionary change and transformation in human history. And the opportunities presented in terms of participating in this are phenomenal. And so those souls that qualified, definitely incarnated, and are part of this, we're now at a point in time, now, to where all of our stuff, every one of us has issues, every one of us has stuff, negative patterns of thinking, feeling, and action, dysfunctional patterns of thinking, feeling, and action. We've all got our good stuff. But we're going to find that we've come to a point evolutionarily where we could say, in a kind of a general sense, that nature has drawn a line in the sand, where it's saying, okay, we're not going to let you take all this baggage and all this garbage into the future. The future and the nature of the future is such that it won't support it, it won't allow it. And so you've got to deal with it here and now. And so what is happening is that everybody's buttons are being pushed. All their stuff, all their unresolved stuff, all their ignored issues, all of the stuff that hasn't been healed and that hasn't been consciously worked on and transformed is being pushed into people's faces, so they can't ignore it, so they have to become conscious of it, that they can't avoid it. And it's creating incredible stress levels in people's individual lives and the collective life of humanity. Humanity in the collective consciousness at this time is incredibly stressed and incredibly fear-based. A lot of it's finances, but a lot of it is conflict. And part of it, we go back to this thing that, if we wanted to say it in a simple way, even though there's more to it than this, is that most people, if they're not really trying to, you know, be at their best, are quite self-absorbed and selfish, and primarily looking at themselves. And they're really not all that concerned about the well-being of those others that they are not. And part of the future has to do, we're going to see major shift. Our old culture was very much based in competition. We start looking at our economic system and sports and the meritocracy and everything, it's very much about competition. We're going to find that moving into the future has very much to do with cooperation. And it's a very different principle. And it has to do with breaking down some of the barriers and the conflicts and the ego and the arrogance and the selfishness that each and every one of us has to a degree in order to open up our hearts and embrace the other, the not-self. And we're going to find that one of the primary expansions of consciousness that is going to be going on, that really is the healer of all of these issues, is the opening up of the heart and the expansion of love. In truth, there is absolutely no problem or difficulty or issue out there in the world or in our lives that cannot be healed through love. And so we're going to find that from the standpoint of consciousness, that this next phase, and it will differ with each person, but overall, we're going to find it's a process of opening up the heart chakra and opening up to a higher quality of love that's inclusive, not exclusive. And it really is about embracing everyone and everything, whether it's the earth, whether it's your fellow man, or whatever. And then part of this, a lot of the conflict in relationship has to do with a lack of love and self, and a lot of selfishness. And whether that's, you know, out there in the business world, or whether that's in the love relationships of people, we're going to find that there, the selfishness and the need to open up and expand our love beyond ourselves to others in a way that brings us all together and really neutralizes the polarization that is going on, because that's what is going on.
Let's just stop here because we have to take a break.
Okay.
We'll continue the conversation. I just want to say, so what's happening now with these pressures is different than what it's been in the past. You feel like it's intensifying?
It's definitely intensifying.
All right, let's stop there, and we will be right back. We need to take a break. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're having a peek into the looking glass for 2013 with internationally acclaimed astrologer Robert Ayers. So Bob, we've been talking about these. 2013 is a time of change, old systems breaking down, new systems emerging, and we've brought it down to the personal level and relationships. For people who are having challenges in their relationships, either with their partners, their parents, their children, workmates, whatever, what would you suggest in a practical way? What are some practical tools people need to start implementing if they want to resolve these difficulties, but also understanding that these difficulties are in their life to help them do the healing so they can open and connect to the greater truth about who they are?
Right. And of course, I'll put in a personal plug here. I mean, in my experience, the best thing is to have your chart done.
Right. I agree.
Because here we actually see who the person is and what their positive karma is, what their negative karma is. We can do relationship charts to actually show what the karma is between two people and what the strengths and weaknesses are and the timing for doing it. But it lays it all out very objectively in terms of, you know, what needs to be done. Actually, the chart is a roadmap, and it shows us, you know, the past and where we are now and where we're wanting to go. When we don't have, of course, we can have access to the chart, but when we don't have that, we have to look at the patterns of issues that keep coming up. It's like a broken record. Most of us would be able to recognize within our lives that there are patterns that are negative. They're self-sabotaging and self-destructive. And the way that we kind of talk about this in a meaningful way, and it's kind of a stretch for a lot of people because it isn't what we're taught in school. It isn't what we're taught in our society. But we'll actually find, from a spiritual standpoint, which is the basis of our whole life, is that there are these cosmic forces and powers and principles and qualities of consciousness that we can speak of as truth and love and beauty and justice and creativity and freedom and courage, and we could go on. And each one of these things is an aspect of our soul. It actually is what makes us up as a being. And we're going to find then, because we are beings that are inherently have all of these abilities structured inside each and every one of us, it's part of what's being human, that because of free will, we have a choice in terms of whether we express that principle of truth, you know, in a positive, creative way. Because what's the opposite of truth is untruth, or lying and cheating and stealing. And we're going to find, unfortunately, that within our culture and civilization, there is a significant amount of lying and cheating and stealing. And it's when individuals choose to give expression to this part of themselves in a negative, destructive way, as opposed to a positive, creative way. And the same is true of love and that which is hate. We're going to find that there are these opposites, or the positive, creative way of expressing this, or the negative, destructive way of expressing this, that is very much part of who each and every one of us is. And then when we then start seeing in our lives that there's a pattern that keeps coming up, kind of like a broken record, then the whole point of that is to make us conscious, to make us aware that we've got an issue, that we've got a problem, that we're violating a cosmic law, that we're creating negative karma. And we will find that the results of those things is pain. We're going to find when we violate these laws, they actually result in pain, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, whatever. And that's to get our attention that something is wrong. And when the pain, and if we refuse to pay attention, we're going to find that the pain increases over time. To where finally, you know, if a person refuses to acknowledge this and change their pattern, then we're going to find that the pain becomes such they kind of bottom out, crash and burn. And then sometimes there are those people that when their lives just stop functioning in a positive way and things just fall apart, that they can then, from that standpoint, and again, they still have a choice, but we'll find that oftentimes the person is very much motivated to create a new life based on different thinking and different patterns of feeling and action. And this is the process, whether we cut it, you know, short by actually getting the message, okay, we've got some dysfunctional behavior here that's resulting in these negative situations in my life, and I really don't like them, and I want to change them now. We can do that at any point in time.
So, Bob, can you? I'm just going to jump in here. Can you give us one practical thing that people, or maybe two practical things that people can do who want to break the patterns that are causing them pain and frustration and anger?
Yeah, I mean, for one thing, I mean, if we find that we have a problem with dishonesty and untruthfulness and not being honest, and we recognize that and the problems it causes within our lives, then in a very conscious way, we have to become motivated and very conscientious in terms of being impeccable, in terms of our honesty and truthfulness. And we will find over time it changes the pattern to where it's impossible for us to be dishonest after that.
Well, you know what I've been doing every day? I'm working with a program every day for 28 days. I'm writing down 10 things that I am grateful for in my life. Every day. So it's a strategy, it's a practical strategy that I'm doing to keep myself focused in that energy of gratitude. Because as you said, our goal is to really open our heart, and gratitude is probably, I've heard the Dalai Lama talk about this, gratitude is the energy or the frequency that connects us to this energy we called our place of unconditional love. It's a really great exercise.
Right. And I totally agree, because the other way of dealing with it, you can deal with the problem on the level of the problem, which is what I just described, or you can deal with the problem with what's called the principle of the second element. And the example is, you know, if you're in a darkened room and you're trying to find your way out, you can try to find your way out and stumble over the chairs and skin your knee against the tables and smash against the wall, or you can turn on the light. And by turning on the light, you can see how to get out. Well, this has to do with shifting consciousness. And one of the basic things then related to what you're saying is the other principle is you consciously reinforce and strengthen the good things in your life, or your talents, your abilities, the positive karmas, the well-developed, correctly developed qualities that we have as a person, which most of us should have some awareness of this. And again, that's something that's very much in the chart. And by establishing more conscious awareness in the light, in the positive, and in gratitude, which is, I totally agree and support what it is you've shared, then we find that the person shifts their consciousness that if, to this place of light and strength and well-being that actually, from a practical standpoint, makes it easier to change the negatives. And so there's a number of dynamics that can be employed in terms of facilitating change in a person's life and establishing oneself on the high ground of the accomplishments and achievements and talents and abilities that one has already achieved through lifetimes. Then we will find by reinforcing that, it really places us in this higher position in consciousness where it makes it, from a practical standpoint, easier to change and transform the negative patterns.
Okay, so let's change the topic and let's go into the financial forecast for 2013.
So when we look at, and it'll be interesting to see, but again, we're still faced with Congress and financial problems in terms of a budget that needs to be passed and the debt ceiling that is still there, even though it's been changed, it's only been pushed out a few months, and it's contingent upon there being a budget done. And the automatic spending cuts are scheduled for less than a month away. That if Congress is not able to act, then we're going to find, I'll just use an example, the across-the-board spending cuts that are going to be rather severe because it has to do with saving $10 trillion over the next 10 years, that it will be severe. And a lot of people are freaked out that it's going to be the elimination and cutting back of federal programs and the military and these kinds of things. But that can be alleviated to the degree that Congress reaches a compromise budget and disallows that from happening. But to the degree that Congress doesn't step in, then those spending cuts are automatic. Though, if those spending cuts happen, you're going to see that we will go back into recession.
Astrologically, is this what you're looking at, this from an astrological perspective?
No, I'll add the astrology in a minute.
Okay.
This is just the fundamentals of looking at what's out there right now. And so we're going to see that this will result in hundreds of thousands of jobs lost, which is going to have a very negative impact on the economy. It'll be a contraction. You're spending less money. People have less money to spend. It results in a contraction in the economy and economic activity. When we look to the situation in Europe in the terms of the sovereign debt crisis, we're going to find in the second half of 2013 that it's going to heat up again. Again, they've been band-aids that have been applied both in the United States and Europe as far as the debt crisis. What is going on? Well, countries are spending, governments are spending more than they're taking in, and they're having to borrow to survive and at an unsustainable level. What started all this was a debt crisis that related to the real estate world and bad debt in terms of overborrowing that related to actually all levels of society. Most humans, most individuals, and most companies have really gotten their act together, but the governments haven't. And so we're in a very difficult situation to where we're going to find that in second half of 2013, both here in this country and overseas, that things are going to start turning down and being difficult from a financial and economic standpoint. We will probably continue to expand as far as the stock market and optimism during the first 6 months of this year, then with a major shift about the middle of the year to where things start to deteriorate. And then that goes, you're asking about intensity. Then that moves into 2014 and 15, and this is astrological, where we're going to see in the United States, in the U.S. chart, that the transiting aspects to the natal U.S. chart are such that they have never happened before in the history of our country. And it really is showing the very real possibility of a banking and financial crisis of unprecedented proportions and a weakening of the authority and power of the government in order to keep order. And because the U.S., first of all, the dollar is the key currency in the world and it's the reserve currency in the world, which basically is all international transactions have to take place in dollars, but also we'll find the Federal Reserve and the financial preeminence of the United States and the economic preeminence of the United States. When problems start happening here, they start happening all over. And we're going to find that there's a very strong likelihood that the second half of 2013 leads to a very significant global crisis in 2014 and 15 of major economic contraction and potentially a world depression.
Ooh. So what do we do? What would be your recommendations based on that prognostication? How do we start preparing ourselves? Because that's what we want to do. This information that you're sharing is to help give us an awareness so we can take action steps.
Okay. So if people have money invested by the middle of this year, they want to pull it out of stocks because the stock market is probably going to drop about 75%. And we want to put our money in cash or cash equivalents, which is certificates of deposit, federal deposit insured, money market funds, FDIC insured, or in cash.
Or bullion.
Or bullion, because precious metals have a place in this, because the very basis of the financial system can be in question. The dollar itself can be in question. When we have those kinds of issues, we're going to find that precious metals are a store of value that has been recognized since the beginning of time. I look at them as an insurance policy that if things really go bad with precious metals, you should be fine. And, of course, the more extreme for the real risk takers, but the way to make a lot of money is you can always short the market. You can short the stock market and make a lot of money. And then you have to be confident that it's going to be going down and all of those kinds of things. But those, we're going to find that bonds will be an issue, not immediately, not this year of 2013, but we'll find as we go into 2014 and 15, interest rates are going to rise. And we're going to find that interest rates rise, bond prices fall, which means that we can lose as much money in the bond market as the stock market. That is not the initial thing we need to be concerned about, is a stock market crash. The second thing is really the bonds, losing money in bonds. And also this will affect real estate. We're going to find the whole banking and financial structure of mortgages and all that which underpins the real estate market is going to be very difficult, and we're over the next 2 to 3 years, the possibility of losing about 75% in stocks and 30 to 40% in real estate is quite real. And so with that in mind, then we don't want to play that game. So we pull our money out of those investments that are at greatest risk so that we are able to preserve our capital. At the times that we are moving into, it's not about how much money you make. It's about preserving the capital you already have. Because when we come out about 3 years from now, we're going to find the cost and prices of things have been significantly reduced, and there's incredible opportunities for you to buy what you want to buy at that point, as long as you've preserved your capital. And so the other thing, and is a basic thing that I've always really have said, but especially for these times, that one should have a six-month amount of money in your physical possession at home, in terms of 6 months worth of living expenses. If there are bank holidays, which there were in 2008, you can't access your money. We don't know, you know, back in the Great Depression, there were bank holidays. People couldn't get their money. So there should be an element that everyone has in terms of having access to their cash in their home and safely 6 months worth. And to the degree that we live in an area where services, and we want to be clear, life will go on. We'll still be going to the grocery store and the gas station and all of this stuff. But there will be increasing amounts of chaos and a difficulty of distribution and goods sometimes. So it doesn't hurt in terms of, you know, having supply, backup supply in terms of those necessities of food and various things that you might need and that you might have a question about. And if we're wrong about all of this, we haven't really lost anything. You know, you can always eat.
You see this for as a within, like in 2016, we move out of this.
The crisis, we've been through the worst by 2016. But what will end up happening is we kind of trudge along the bottom for a few years before we really start rebuilding.
And this will be, hopefully, something new.
Yeah, and this is the time when people are going to be madly looking for alternatives because the old system has basically failed.
So that's, I mean, if, you know, I hope people take to heart what you're saying, because you're not the only one saying this anyway. We're kind of riding right now the beginning of 2013. You know, my mother just called me, and she was so happy because her stocks have been the highest that they've been in a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's true.
I mean, a lot of people are feeling that way, right?
And that's so, when we often get blindsided.
Exactly. We need to be aware. This is a very temporary phenomenon that we should take advantage of, but don't go all in to the
right.
stock market.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. And it is. And there will be, I mean, part of it's the fiscal cliff. We passed that, and it looks like maybe, you know, Congress might get serious about, you know, doing some things about the problems that we face. So people are heartened by that. The economy in certain areas is doing better than it has been in terms of real estate. That was the major problem that kind of was the source of the problems before, is really going through a revitalization. It's still way, way down, but it's an encouraging sign. People are increasingly a little more confident about the future,
it's just not your own kind of economic, political perspective. You're really saying this based on the astrological
right.
insight you have, and I want people to
right.
understand that, you know.
Right, no. I'm aware of all the fundamentals. I was a history, political science major, so I understand all that.
You've been in international banking.
Yeah, I've been in international banking, so I'm familiar with all that. But what I just shared with you has to do with the use U.S. chart, the chart of the United States.
Right.
You can do a chart of an individual, you can do a chart of a company, you can do a chart of a country. And so we're talking about the karma of this country related to the financial system that is coming due in 14 and 15 that is pretty intensely heavy.
Right.
And something that has never been experienced before in this country's history. So if you look back over time, we've had some rather difficult financial and economic times in the past, but this has, if we look at it astrologically, will be unprecedentedly more difficult.
And the purpose of having these conversations, and why I so appreciate you being here, is because you, as all good astrologers or numerologists or, you know, what people who have those gifts to really look into the energies that are going on, can give us an awareness of how to, you know, prepare for the future, how to have more awareness so we're not caught off guard, and, you know, make some appropriate choices and changes and strategies.
Right, and part of what we could ask, you know, why do these things have to happen? Why do they have to happen? It goes back to our earlier discussion about the old systems. If we're really honest and we really understand how the banking system and economic system work, they are predatory. They are predatory systems that are preying on the earth, and they're preying on humans. And this nature is basically saying, this can't continue. This is not what will be allowed into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand that something good is happening, even though, you know, this whole situation I described is going to affect everybody. I mean, I've got people that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They're scared, too,
yeah.
you know, for those people who make $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
It's affecting everybody, and it's supposed to. And it is to know that this kind of behavior, these kind of ways of thinking, feeling, and action are not of the light. They are of darkness. And they're very destructive, and that things have to change.
So, Bob, if people want to get hold of you and to learn more about your services, because you do offer personal consultations, which I have to say have really helped me during times of, you know, challenging times and times of change in my life. It was like you gave me a roadmap that helped me navigate through those times. So it's just so invaluable. How do they do that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a website that is titled astrologicalalchemy.com. So people can contact me through my website, astrologicalalchemy.com. My phone number where I can be called is area code 530-550 1118.
That's great. Well, we have just a couple more minutes. Is there anything you would like to say to kind of wrap this up?
Well, the thing that I would want to emphasize, because people can get really caught up in fear,
right,
is that something good is happening. And we want to look at why the things are happening. And to the degree that we choose to change in our own personal life and shift into the right mode in terms of these more life-supportive types of thinking, feeling, and action, you're going to find the negative effects of what is going on all around you don't affect you. To the degree that you choose to change, you will find you have done what all of this crisis is about. Because the crisis is there to make people change. And if we, out of free will choice, choose to change, we're going to find we don't have to go through the pain and suffering. And it's almost magical. And it also then puts you in a position to help these other people that are suffering.
Yeah, so such a powerful message to understand that we can, and it's designed, this time is designed to wake us up.
Right.
And step into a power that can guide us through these times. And the key thing is then reach out and help others.
Right. Because ultimately we're going to find that we're all in this together and this whole theme of cooperation, and we are our brother's keeper, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These principles are going to be more and more a living reality within our society and within our own individual consciousness, and we will find that these really are these cosmic truths upon which our lives should be based.
Yeah, so that's such a great note to leave this conversation. I want to say your website is astrologicalalchemy.com, and I invite people to go up there, have a look, get, move through your life with the greatest amount of awareness and resources possible, because that is how we live a full life. And try 28 days of just writing 10 things you're grateful for every day and see what magic happens, because things will shift, don't you think, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. It's all based on our thinking. That's the ultimate bottom line.
Yeah, this has been great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insight with us today. And I know you've given people a lot to think about. And I just wish you well in 2013.
Thank you, Cheryl.
And to all my listeners, thank you for joining me today. You never know what we're going to be talking about on the show, but I can tell you one thing for sure is you don't want to miss it. So until next week, take care and remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.